Welcome to the Wealthy After Divorce podcast. Jackie Ressler, a divorce financial planner with almost 25 years experience, and myself, Melissa Freidenberg, financial advisor with Pearl Planning. We are both certified divorce financial analysts and your co-hosts.
If you're thinking about divorce or in the process of divorce, this is a time for you to take a deep breath and give yourself permission to gain clarity on the financial decision you're facing.
While the term wealth typically refers to money and possessions, we know that truly being wealthy means a whole lot more. Together with our guests on this podcast, we will help you live wealthy after divorce.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Wealthy After Divorce. Today, I'm excited because we have a great episode in store for all of our listeners. Today, we have Erica Powers on the show, and she is a CMPS, which is a Certified Mortgage Planning Specialist, and a CDLP, a Certified Divorce Lending Professional. She is a mortgage banker with First Merchants Bank, and I get so many questions in my practice as a divorce financial advisor about what the right time is to reach out to a mortgage banker. What are the different options? What are not options when you're getting divorced? So I feel very lucky that we've got Erica here to answer those kinds of questions for us. So welcome, Erica.
Thank you, Jackie. I'm really excited to be here.
What are some of the main differences between a regular mortgage, a typical mortgage where someone's just couple is going out and buying a house, or a single person is buying a house versus a mortgage that's related to a divorce?
Sure. I think one of the biggest differences is that when you're going through a divorce, there's going to be a lot more parties involved. So we're going to have a financial advisor, divorce attorneys, accountants, mediators, realtors, mortgage professionals, obviously. And you're going to have a lot more moving parts because you're going through the divorce process while you're going through the mortgage process. So we have some timing that we're going to be looking at because hopefully we're talking before you finalized your settlement agreement or your mediation. So you're going to be going through those and we're going to be waiting on those to be completed. And then you may be selling your current house and then buying a new house. You may be waiting on income. And I will be honest, a lot of my clients that come to me that are divorced cases haven't handled their personal finances. It was probably their spouse that was handling it. So this is very new to them, even though they may be a homeowner. Haven't really gone through the financing process. So, yeah.
So there's a bit of a learning curve for them.
There's definitely a learning curve. And two, they have a lot of changed circumstances, right? They may have different income levels. They may have different debt levels. They might not want to move, and they're going through the change. So there's a lot of emotion involved too.
Right. Which is so different than, let's say, a young couple buying their first house, where it's all exciting and fun.
Right.
There is, and I think people are in general nervous about going through the mortgage process anyway. And then when you throw a divorce into it, I'm sure that that adds a lot of extra stress for people.
Yes, it's a whole other layer.
Now, so you have the CDLP designation. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that helps you work with people that are getting divorced where someone that doesn't have that background and training wouldn't be as suited as you are?
Yeah. So it just means that I've gone through some additional training, quite a bit of additional training that is focused on the divorce process and working with divorce clients and working with the divorce team, all of the other parties that are helping the client through the divorce process. So I'm going to have an additional financial knowledge and expertise that other loan officers do not have surrounding divorce. And they may not be as familiar with some of the mortgage financing strategies that they could be helping their clients with that are going through divorce. They're not used to working with that type of change in income or possibly doing an equity buyout, they might only be handling maybe one divorce case a year.
Right. That's true. So, and so you've got more options, more tools in your bag than
yes. It
doesn't do a lot of divorce cases.
Right. I'm just going to be a lot more familiar with it, familiar with the process and the timing, and be able to point out to my clients things that are going to help them versus somebody that's not used to doing divorce cases is not going to be able to point those things out.
So you mentioned an equity buyout. Can you explain a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So that's where you might be refinancing the home into just your name. So you're taking your ex-spouse out off of the home, if you guys owned the home together. And then you're going to pay them out the equity that was in the home prior to the divorce. And so sometimes loan officers will not realize that when they're doing that, they can do that as a rate and term refinance, which is an advantage to the client versus a cash out refinance.
What would be the difference between a cash out and a rate and term? Is there a different rate that people would get for like either a better rate, the rate and term?
Correct. The rate could be a little bit different. The loan to value that you can go up to, so how much you could borrow, could be different. So there's just some different terms and program options available.
An important lesson that I've learned in working with divorcing clients over the years is that I have to refer them to someone who has a lot of empathy and who is a good communicator, because it's important to have things explained in a way that people can understand, and they may need to hear it said more than one time because they're going through such a traumatic experience.
I 100% agree. And really, you need to be willing to take the time to explain to people what is going on, because there is so much out of their control, and being able to understand the process helps, I think.
Oh, absolutely. It does. Many of my clients, they're not sure. You mentioned a little bit about the timing. So sometimes clients aren't sure what the right time is to reach out to a mortgage banker. I always recommend that as soon as we start talking about whether or not the client is going to refinance the loan, if they want to stay in the house, or even if they want to get a new house, then as soon as we start discussing that, I want them to go and have a conversation with you or someone like you. But sometimes I feel like maybe it's too early. What is the ideal time frame for you?
I think it's really important to bring me in as early in the process as you can. Honestly, the earlier the better. Even if maybe I'm just having an initial conversation, then we're not going to talk for 6 months or something.
Okay.
That's okay. And I'll give you a couple of reasons why, and maybe some examples of some divorce cases where I had people brought me in earlier. It kind of makes a difference. The biggest reason I would say the earlier the better is because sometimes people won't come to me until the divorce is final, and they're in that 90-day period where they have to refinance. That's what was written in their agreement, and they don't qualify to refinance. So they may have credit issues. Maybe they just don't have enough income, or maybe they're going to be using alimony or child support income in 6 months. They haven't been receiving it for 6 months. So had they brought me in earlier on, we could have determined those, it kind of pointed those issues out and figured out a solution for them.
Right. Can you give me some examples of cases that it would have been better to bring you in sooner rather than later?
Yes. Yes. So a couple of examples. First of all, if you bring me in early on, we're going to determine if someone could qualify for a loan or not. So if someone has credit issues, I'd rather know about it sooner than later so that they can start working on those issues. Or if they're not going to have enough income, they could set up their settlement agreement so that they would have income and set up the agreement in a timeline to be able to refinance within that correct timeline.
You could also, it would be helpful for you to tell the attorney, look, this person is not going to be able to qualify in 90 days.
Correct.
So at least it's not just the attorney saying that. It's someone who officially went through and looked at their situation from a mortgage banker standpoint. So that is, I would think that would be really helpful to know upfront.
I think it's a really good thing to know upfront whether you can do something or not. Because once the agreement's signed, it's really hard to change it. So it's easier to do it upfront. Also, I think, you know, when you're setting up your budget too, and you're determining how much you're going to take of assets versus income, all of those different things, it's good to have an idea of what your payment's going to be going forward on your mortgage so that you can factor that in, so that you can make sure that you're budgeting everything correctly, because you want to be successful with your finances after the divorce. I think that some people that don't have the traditional established credit, we do have some programs. So there may be some options for them if they could establish some non-traditional credit and we could document that. Or they may have to go through a longer waiting period where they're building traditional credit. And so that's another good reason to have that discussion up front, because then they're going to know what they need to do. And,
you know,
the sooner that you can start working on that, better.
Absolutely. So when I worry about sending them to you too soon, it sounds to me like I need to send them to you sooner than I have been. So,
yeah, always the soonest, the best. I'll give you another really good example of a client that I worked with who came to me after the divorce was final. And they had gone through mediation. They had their settlement agreement and they had been planning to sell the home. And then my client was going to be buying a new home. He was going to do this in the exact same neighborhood, wanted to be on the same road if he could, same neighborhood as the home that he was listing for sale, same price range. So here he is looking for houses that he really wants to be exactly like the house that he's selling, that he had done work on to update it to be exactly how he wanted it, and not liking any of the other homes that are listed for sale while trying to sell his house, but he doesn't even really want to sell his house. And so, you know, I finally said to my client, did you ever discuss keeping the house yourself? He had no idea that that was an option.
Wow.
That he would do an equity buyout, pay her out, stay in the same home, qualify for it. And so had he come to me before, he could have just started down that road. And instead, they did end up going back to the mediator. They redrew their agreement with him keeping the home. They took it off the market and we finished the loan.
Wow. So, that sounds like a happy client.
Yeah. Super, super happy. It worked out, I think, you know, to the benefit of everyone, because I think his ex-spouse also, then their child got to stay in that home. It was a great solution. But you never know what's possible if you don't walk through it before you know, assume and write up the agreement. So it's just a good thing to reach out early on.
I think you're absolutely right about that. I noticed that a lot of people come to mediation when I go to mediation with them, or they are going into settlement discussions with their spouse, and they assume that they're going to be able, if they're going to keep the house, that they're going to be able to just take the other person's name off the loan. Have you seen situations where that doesn't always work out?
Yeah. So I think, and this is coming up more and more, right? Because people right now have low interest rates on their current mortgages. And so they might not want to refinance out of that mortgage. However, they need to call the bank that holds their mortgage and find out if the mortgage that they have is assumable, is kind of their first step. They need to make sure that if it is assumable, that the other party is going to be able to be fully released off of the lien so that they will no longer have any responsibility. And then they need to understand that there are still going to be fees involved with that assumption, most likely. And they may also have to get an appraisal, just like a traditional refinance. And they also are going to need to qualify to assume the mortgage. So they're going to have to qualify for the mortgage again on their own. So if they're thinking that they would just call the bank and be able to assume the mortgage without going through the income process or the credit process, that's not going to be correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a really, could potentially be a really big problem. If someone just, so they actually have to qualify as if they're getting their own loan.
Yes, they have to qualify again. And so it's a very good thing that if that's something they're considering, to reach out right away to make sure that's even a possibility. Because not every mortgage is going to be assumable, and not every borrower is going to qualify to assume the current mortgage.
Okay, that is excellent advice.
Yeah. So
speaking of interest rates, I have one last question for you. What do you see going on in the market right now? And I know you don't have a crystal ball, but any predictions about what we can expect? So we are in April of 23 right now when we're taping this. So anything that you see coming down the line as far as rate predictions for the next rest of this up to the end of summer here?
Yeah, I wish I had a crystal ball, but I mean, I think we are somewhat possibly starting to see some signs that inflation may be easing a little bit. If that is the case, then the hope is that that will help to stabilize rates a little bit and eventually possibly even lead to some reduction in rates, or maybe just even finding a better balance where we're not seeing the constant increases that we have been seeing this year.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. And I think too, kind of finding a normalized balance might also help to normalize the market in general. Last summer, it got a little bit crazy in our area, in Michigan, with people paying over asking price on homes and homes having a lot of offers on them. And so it would be nice to see that stabilize a little bit and maybe buyers not have to pay as much over. So
okay,
I think, you know, and kind of finding that balance in rates, maybe we'll find the balance in the market itself as well.
That makes sense. And obviously, you know, for a lot of divorcing clients, they would like to get the highest value if they're selling their house, but then where are they going to buy a house? If they're downsizing, then that's problematic. So if the market stabilized, that would make a big difference for a lot of divorce cases.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really kind of hoping that we do see things normalize a little bit and just kind of keep that stable balance so that it will benefit both sides of it. Right. So you can still get value for your home. But that maybe you're not concerned about rates going up throughout the entire process.
Right.
So we need to see a balance. So
it would be nice. Is there is there anything that we didn't talk about that you would like to mention?
I don't think so. I do think so. Involving a good divorce team is super important. So I think it's important to talk to a financial advisor. I think it's important to loop in a loan officer early in the process, and to make sure that you use a good realtor too. So
right. Take a village.
It takes everybody working together to make it more successful for our clients.
I agree. Everyone needs to be on the same page. And I think that's true for the divorce attorney also, you know, to have them get involved in conversations about the house being sold or refinanced early as well. It helps prepare everybody to be on the same page.
Yes. I really think it's important too, to just not assume that people can qualify and to do the due diligence so that you're set up for success.
Sounds good to me. So thank you so much, Erica, for being a guest today. I'm going to include your contact information in the show notes, and any other links that you provide to us will also be there for people to get in touch with you. And I want to thank our audience for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, Jackie.
Thank you for listening to the Wealthy After Divorce podcast. You can find more information on Melissa Friedenberg and Jackie Ressler on our website, www.pearlplan.com, as well as on our podcast website, www.wealthyafterdivorce.com.